The 920 KVEC Podcast Network is presented by the Slo County Real Estate Podcast with Hal Swayze. Up-to-date information on the local real estate market on your time. New episodes weekly at the podcast link at 920kvec.com and wherever you get your podcasts. California DRE 01111911.
Dave Congleton Show's brought to you by Dr. Carrie Ramirez with years of expertise in general implant and cosmetic dentistry. Dr. Ramirez and her team use a graceful approach to give you the smile of your dreams. So give them a call, 805-549-8483, or visit slowcoastdentist.com and ask for the Dave Congleton New Patient Special. Now back to Hometown Radio on News Talk 920 and FM 96.5 KVEC.
Straight ahead, Dr. Armstead will join us to talk about the situation with Israel and Iran, what Israel's response should be, what it might be, and what all this has to do with the United States. We're continuing our conversation with Bill Ostrander. It's being called the Great Resignation. Why are so many people bailing from Congress? If you want in on the conversation, join us, 805-543-8830. Or 800-549-5832. Always glad to read your text messages on the Stolberg text line as we try to figure out why it's Republicans and Democrats. Some have decided they're just not going to run for re-election. Others are just walking out in the middle of their terms. As we're back with Bill. So I asked the question before the break. We should follow up on this, Bill. What's our responsibility as constituents, as just ordinary American citizens?
Well, I think, first of all, we have to recognize that we're participants in this process. You know, I think what we like to believe in that we tend to operate under the premise that these are our representatives, so they're doing it. I don't have to. I can focus on making money and doing my family and taking care of my family and having fun, et cetera, et cetera. But actually, there's more work to be done than that. And I'm really disappointed at the amount of community service that people get involved in, or the lack of civics, understanding of civics, or, you know, even in the economy. I mean, if you're on social media nowadays and you're looking at the debate going on between our two presidential candidates, you know, regardless of your partisanship, you know, people are blaming the president for high gas prices as if somehow the president has the power of the world oil markets or the ability to set oil gas prices because they can tell Exxon and Mobil what they should charge. I mean, those kinds of things are absurd. You find people that are taking issue with certain parts of the economy that, you know, the chief executive of our government just doesn't do. So that creates animosity. And I think there's a certain amount of tension in people right now when you're seeing, food prices are quite high and housing prices are extraordinary, especially in our area. And, you know, people get frustrated and then they want to blame somebody or something. And I think that tends to cause, you know, part of the drama that goes on to you know, knee-jerk back and forth between right side and left side. You know, you'll have one party in power for a little while, and then people get frustrated and not knowing, understanding civics or understanding how the economy works, just believe that everything is their fault, and now let's throw those bums out. And I think we have a strong responsibility to be more informed, honestly informed, and to participate and see what the needs are.
But let me push back a little bit on that, because you take somebody like Marjorie Taylor Greene, who personally I have no use for, but right. I also acknowledge her influence. Matt Gaetz is another guy that comes to mind. How is it that they are so successful? They must be taking positions that a lot of Americans apparently agree with or not. Which is it?
Well, let's distinguish between they're being elected to Congress and the difference between that and the optics of being in the news. I think those are vastly different things. I don't know one bill that Marjorie Taylor Greene has gotten signed by the president. So what we see, and I think this is part of the problem, is that we see a lot of representatives that take positions of these firebrand sort of personalities and take these extreme positions of leverage because they want to make a point, and it gets them a lot of press. And that press has cost a lot of money, a lot of campaign donations. And so you find that, in my opinion anyway, either they're not bright enough to realize just how destructive they are, or they're so calculating that they realize that this gets them in the media, which is part of your job, in a way, as a representative, is to let people know that you're out there working on their behalf. So Marjorie Taylor Greene was elected twice in her community. They obviously favor her point of view. But the reason that we know about her is because she does things like yelling at the president during the State of the Union speech, or wearing a hat when it's against protocol, or, you know, taking these extreme positions of throwing the speaker out because she doesn't like what he's done. And that she doesn't seem to understand the rules of democracy, or that compromise is how you make legislation happen.
Or she doesn't particularly care because she's got her own agenda.
Yeah.
So,
it's pretty difficult.
All right. So then what become the consequences of all this? What's at stake? So other people come along and replace those that leave. It's a never-ending cycle. So what's at stake here?
Well, that's the great danger, isn't it? Because usually, what we tended to believe, or at least I was naive enough to believe in my past, that the people that we were electing were some of our best and brightest, the people that we really need to serve the country. And anymore, I don't think anybody in the country is, would say, yeah, this is a fun job, it's a great job, and it's nothing but good times, and it's our highest and best talents out there. I think what most people will look at and go, let's see, for $175,000 a year, I'm going to be away from my family at least 50% of the time. I'm going to work 70 hours a week, and I'm going to be pilloried in the press by half of the nation for any decisions I make. And then when I get there, I'm going to basically sit there and go through processes which actually make no sense, like lying about the 2020 election, or impeaching a person because they disagree with policy, or various and sundry other things. You know, holding the government hostage for paying its debts. Those are all kinds of things that just are frustrating. And let's not forget that over 50% of people in Congress are millionaires. They can earn way more money than that. They don't need to sit there and do that, you know.
Well,
so
yeah,
we end up getting, you know, the crazies run the asylum at that point.
Right. And as a result, legislation doesn't get done. I don't know the precise stat, Bill, but I believe that the current Congress is the least effective in terms of passing legislation. That's absolutely right.
You're absolutely right, Dave. And, you know, you have to understand, I think, that basically most members of Congress strive to make bills because it shows their constituency that they're working. The majority of the bills are passed in the first month after Congress is convened, and in the last month before the election. And in the meantime, there's a lot of time of debating bills or raising money and doing all those kind of things. And when you get, you know, the crazies out there, you go through all kinds of procedural moves in order to take something off the table or to put something on the table. It's an extraordinary waste of time. And, you know, you see the bill that Mike Johnson is putting forward now on the different, you know, international aid. Well, he's broken apart the Senate bill, but it's actually basically the same bill. It's just that he's broken it apart in different pieces, with the caveat that if the House passes each one of these, the Senate can't change it. It has to get passed exactly as it was. Well, all those require procedural votes. So Congress ends up going to a grinding pace rather than recognizing that, look, we agree to this, or we don't agree to this, or I agree some of it. You know, it becomes polarizing legislation that then bogs down and goes nowhere.
Well, it also underscores the optic, at least, that Washington is incapable of governing. No matter what the issue is, whether it's Ukraine or infrastructure, we get involved in these squabbles and we get involved in the politics and nothing gets done.
It's absolutely true. And in addition, it creates a lot of instability around the world because they don't know what we're doing. And we end up leading the world in so many different ways. So if you just look at foreign aid packages, you know, you have Biden on one hand saying to Ukraine, don't worry, we got your back as long as it takes. And then in terms of Congress, you go, I'm not so sure. I don't know. And we got another election coming up. We have somebody else says, I can solve this in one day. Well, if you're a general in Ukraine, how do you plan a battle? How do you accommodate these shifting, constantly shifting sands? There doesn't seem to be a uniform idea about our aid or about what to do. So we end up negotiating with ourselves, and sometimes it's not what our ally might need. It's kind of like what our compromise is just to go forward and move on and move to the next subject. It's insincere.
I like it. Bill Ostrander is with us for the hour. A short break. We'll come back for a final segment as we focus on the dysfunctional U.S. Congress. It's being called the Great Resignation. Members are dropping out, saying enough is enough. So what are the consequences for us? We have a lot to cover. I'm Dave Congleton on AM 920 FM 96.5 News Talk, KVEC.
This week on Animal Radio.
Jason Feldman will be on the show. He is a Chicago realtor, and he's going to tell you how to sell your house if you have cats or dogs, because it may not be easy to sell that puppy once your animals have been living in it for 10, 15 years. I know this particular place where we live, they'll actually have to demolish.
Well, it's not that bad. Replace the carpet, that's it.
The wood and the concrete and everything below.
Grab your pet and join us for Animal Radio, Sunday afternoons at 2 on News Talk 920 KVE.
Hi, this is John Bean, and that's my son Tom
singing.
If the weatherman is right, it's going to rain. So make sure you'll be singing in the rain and visit Via Automotive for our rainy day service special. We'll check your battery and electrical system, inspect the brakes, test your headlights and taillights, and replace the wiper blades if they are worn. And because you'll be rolling up your windows when it rains, we'll make sure your car's ventilation system is working like it should. At Via Automotive, we feature the most current automotive tools and computer diagnostic equipment. Plus, our technicians are iCar and ASE certified. We'll do whatever it takes to make you 100% satisfied. And singing in the rain.
Singing in the rain.
Look us up online at via-automotive.com and let our family take care of your family. Nicely done, son.
If you walk away from the radio, keep this conversation going on the free 920 KVEC app.
Dave Congleton reminding you that the new Cuesta Park Animal Hospital here in San Luis Obispo is here to help you and your pets. As the weather warms up, foxtails are an increased risk to the pets of the Central Coast. Those pesky dried out weeds can get stuck everywhere and embed themselves all over your pets. Your pet may show irritation from a foxtail by shaking their head, coughing, violently sneezing, or trying to scratch repeatedly. Foxtails that are left untreated can cause further irritation and infection. Sometimes foxtails are loosely caught and the fur can be easily removed. However, if a foxtail has embedded itself in your pet's skin or anywhere, you should have a vet safely remove it. Cuesta Park Animal Hospital can see your pet for same-day appointments. Visit CuestaParkDVM.com to schedule your pet's next visit. Trust the team at Cuesta Park Animal Hospital, providing complete care for your pet from head to tail. You have landed on the Dave Congleton Show, always your hometown radio talk show. We are talking about the Great Resignation, why so many members of Congress are bailing, and what the consequences of that will be. Bill Ostrander is my guest. We welcome your calls. If you want in on the conversation, though, we'd like to hear from you now, please. 805-543-8830 or 800-549-5832. Though, Bill, there might be apathy out there. Here comes a text on the Stolberg line. They want us to talk about our congressman. What about Congressman Kerbal-Hall? Thoughts on him?
I think he's a hardworking man who tends to find policies that he's aware that he might be more knowledgeable about, say within military service or needs in California. I think he tends to follow the party line. I ran against him. I have different priorities than he does, but he recently got a bill passed, I think, didn't he, on the fentanyl, using the military to help screen for fentanyl coming into the country. I'm gonna leave it there.
Yeah. Here's another one coming in on the Stolberg line. I believe the reason members are leaving Congress is they feel the divisiveness is visceral, and they'd rather not get caught up in it. Ooh, I can't disagree with that.
True, but I mean, even within that, there's context, isn't there? I mean, I think you and I are certainly old enough to remember when Tip O'Neill and Ronald Reagan were in positions of power, and these were guys who were diametrically opposed philosophically, but were great friends. I mean, they tend to be, you know, supportive people of one another. And I think that's lost. And I think it's interesting if you were to go back and look at the number of senators and Congress men and women who have written legislation or passed legislation, the ones that are most successful are not the ones who get the most time on mainstream media or social media. It tends to be more little-known senators or congressmen and women. I mean, how many of us have heard of Senators Gary Peters from a Democrat from Michigan or Mike Braun from Indiana? Mike Braun's maybe a little slightly more known. These guys are two of the most effective legislative writers or members of Congress. When you look in the Senate, I mean, Amy Klobuchar from Minnesota, I wasn't particularly fond of her for president, but she's a very active and aggressive member in the Senate. Ed Markey, Marco Rubio, particularly care for his policies, but, you know, they're out there doing stuff and getting something done, and they're not just trying to get known on social media or in the news.
Let's take some calls. We've got Don on KVEC. Hi, Don.
Hi, Dave.
Hey, Don.
Hi, Bill.
Hi.
Dave, this one's for you.
Okay.
Earlier on in the show, you made a comment relating to how many bills had been passed relating to the effectiveness of the Congress.
It's my understanding that this current Congress has had the least amount of bills passed.
Yeah, but the thing is, just passing bills doesn't prove efficiency.
I agree.
There's a lot of bills that get passed that are correcting previous bills that got passed. So is that efficient, or you're just fixing errors?
Bill, what do you say?
Well, you know, we could tease this off into a variety of different ways, right? But I think what we're looking for essentially is that on average there's about 10,000 bills that are written in one session of Congress, meaning every 2 years, of course. And how many of those are passed, and how many of those are changing our lives or addressing issues within our country that need to be addressed? And I think that we could probably agree that there are probably five of them, no matter what your leaning is, that we could probably agree on that need to be looked at and addressed. And it seems as though that most of those major type of bills are not being addressed, and that, in fact, many of the little bills correcting measures are being passed because they're not worth the fight.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
And Don?
Well, yeah, but I just remember a time during Bill Clinton when he was tied up with the Monica thing and hardly anything was getting done by him or by Congress, and things went along quite smoothly. And you have to remember that for every bill that gets passed, there's a winner and a loser. Somebody gets a benefit and somebody loses a benefit. So rating a Congress on how many bills they passed, I don't think is an appropriate way to rate their performance.
So then, Don, follow up, please. What about all the incumbents who are walking away midterm? Should we not be concerned by that?
Well, it'd be interesting to find out why they're walking away. You may have good people walking away, which is bad, and you may have frustrated and people that are just ready to get out of government, and that's their choice. So You need to find the reason why they're leaving.
Yeah. Well, there are different reasons. We'll talk about that. Don, thanks for checking in. 805-543-8830, 800-549-5832. Ron's with us on KVEC. Hi, Ron.
Hello, Dave.
Hey, Ron.
When it comes to the people who are leaving, the wrong ones are leaving. The ones that have been there for years and years and years, they aren't leaving. It's the younger ones that come in, and they may be there 5 years, 10 years, maybe 15 years, and they get so frustrated with what's going on, they can't take it anymore. But you don't see the 70s and 80-year-old people leaving. The ones that have been there all their life or most of their life.
Yeah.
So the wrong people are leaving.
They got the power. They got the power and the influence. Bill, comment on what Ron's arguing.
Well, I think Ron is arguing about the optics and not necessarily the accurate reflection of the data. Because yes, he's quite right in saying that you have certain leaders in Congress and either the Senate or the House, which have been there for a long time because they're effective. They're effective leaders, and so they continually get reelected and tend to be in positions of influencing with the direction of things. But what you're also seeing now is a lot of your rank and file, they're going, this is too dysfunctional, I can't take it. But in contrast to your point, Kevin McCarthy was a longtime guy, and he quit out of frustration. And I think you've seen, even Mitch McConnell has talked about, this is a pretty rough Congress. So you're even hearing those same reasons from people who are at the top and been in there for a long time.
Ron?
Well, moving on to Ukraine, et cetera, this administration from the beginning of the war, the Ukrainians were asking for airplanes, and this administration refused to give it to them. I think it was Poland that wanted to give it to them, and finally they did. And this country has been giving them, if they get our planes, they're old ones, they want these newer ones, and they've refused to give it to them. When it comes to these bills that are going through, what the Republicans were doing were saying, the war in Ukraine is just as important as the influx of millions of people into our country that are here without their proper documentation. So they tied the bill for immigration to the other bills, and that didn't work out with the Democrats. So now what's happening is that they're rightfully so, the Republicans are splitting off the bills. And I think these crazy Republicans, and there's not a lot of them there in Congress, that they're all upset because they're not tying the border to these bills.
All right, let's talk about that. Ron, thanks for checking in. I'm at the two-minute mark, Bill. What do you say to Ron's?
It requires more than 2 minutes to give an accurate response to that, except that he seems to live out the part that the Republicans who negotiated that border bill, based on their demands, turned around and then killed the bill because President Trump said he wanted to campaign on that issue. So that's an unfair assertion to make about the Democrats in this situation. As far as the weapons of war and the things that they wanted, in the early beginnings of the war, I think President Biden was taking the position that we don't want to trigger Russia into a World War III or into a larger conflict, and providing airplanes that allowed them to move into Russia was a step that he wasn't willing to take at the time. But, of course, now we are giving them planes, and they are getting refurbished. And, yes, they are our older planes, but they're still superior to the Russian equipment.
What are you looking for next in terms of Congress? What are the signs? More people leaving?
I think you're having a sea change happening right now, which is kind of interesting to watch, because Mike Johnson was a pretty conservative member of Congress who was very much at Trump's right hand when it came to trying to stay in power. And now he's seeing himself being bailed out by Democrats on numbers of things that they're negotiating, and if his speakership position is in question, the Democrats may have to save him again. So there's kind of an interesting thing going on, because he's trying to figure out a way how to keep his coalition together, but he's got these extreme members who are threatening him, and because of Kevin McCarthy's deal of having just one person file an order to vacate or motion to vacate, he's vulnerable. So it's a real interesting period of time right now.
And for him to be saved by the Democrats, he's got to give up something each time. I agree with you, yes. Bill. It's just fascinating to watch.
Yes.
Always a good conversation with Mr. Ostrander. I got about 30 seconds for a final thought, Bill.
Well, first of all, I think that it would be very helpful if we had publicly funded elections so we don't have to use private money, which influences people's decisions. It creates, too much money in the hands of a few who gain optics. And I think that it would be one step in the process of trying to get people to elect as representatives to represent the community, not the individuals or their investors or social investors.
On Labor Day, will Mike Johnson still be Speaker of the House?
Yes, I think he will. I think he'll make it through this session. What happens next session is going to depend on the election.
Absolutely. All right, Bill. Appreciate the conversation as always. Off we go. News, traffic, weather. Dr. Armstead joins us next. I'm Dave Congleton. Happy Wednesday.
Seventies across the rest of the Central Coast. Right now, 78 Paso, 66 Pismo, 72 in San Luis. Now back to Hometown Radio on News Talk 920 and FM 96.5 KVC.
.407 on the Central Coast. I'm Dave Congleton. Good to be with you. At 5:05, Dr. Armstead is back with us. How should Israel respond to the recent attacks by Iran? Should they respond at all? And how does this involve the United States? We will talk. This hour, it's being called the Great Resignation. I'll quote from a recent article in the Washington Post. The 118th Congress has been so unpopular among members of the House themselves that it's leading to an unprecedented number of resignations. Quoting the article, despite all the congressional gridlock these days, lawmakers have succeeded in one surprising area of productivity, driving their colleagues into resignation. On Friday, Colorado Representative Ken Buck will resign outright, becoming the sixth member of the House to quit with no other public office lined up. The one-time renegade conservative who's drifted ideologically away from his far-right friends summed up the feelings of the quitters. Quote, this place just keeps going downhill, and I don't need to spend my time here. The data for congressional resignations is somewhat murky, but it's clear that over the last four decades at least, the House hasn't seen this many people just quit public service in the middle of their term. And I want to distinguish that. These aren't people are announcing, hey, I'm not going to run for re-election. These are folks, I'm out of here. I'm leaving. Always good to be in conversation with Bill Ostrander. He joins us now. Mr. Ostrander, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Dave. Thanks for having me on. How are you?
I'm good, sir. Thanks for joining us. We appreciate your perspective on this. How do you explain what's going on here?
Well, you know, I don't know that you have to have my words about it. I'm kind of, you know, looking at what the reasons are from the variety of members that have either resigned or are at least expressing their frustration. And they're basically looking at a very dysfunctional House. Extremism, limited vision, lying, turning government on itself. It's disrespect for the institution. And I think the one common thing here we have to look at is what type of person is retiring from Congress, not just the number. I think that the trend is showing that we're getting the people who've been in Congress for a while, who respect the institution of Congress and some of the more institutional means of Congress that are the ones that are retiring. I'm talking about, say, the archetype of, say, a Mitt Romney type,
yeah,
who is retiring. That's the person that we're seeing retiring. We're not seeing the Marjorie Taylor Greens or the Matt Gaetz is retiring. We're seeing those that are just frustrated with the process and going, you know, I've got better things to do than to argue with people like this.
Well, and as the article points out, there is that distinction. There are 45 members of the House who have announced that they will retire at the end of this year, i.e. the end of their term. But then there are these other folks who are just walking out now. And Buck, who I quoted earlier, he's warned that more resignations are coming.
Yes. In fact, right now, I think Ballotpedia is saying that there's close to 50 people that are retiring from both houses. Now, not all of them, as you put it already, are retiring because, you know, dysfunction or just disgust or whatever. There's many of them that are seeking higher office, but there is a fairly substantial turnover, even just in terms of straight turnovers, not just people who are resigning out of frustration. But yes, to your point, and the reason of the conversation is the kinds of frustrations that are driving people from office. And I think it's a good, you know, I don't like what the outcome looks like, but it is an opportunity for us also to rethink how we're going about electing our representatives and about how we perform in Congress and who we're electing.
Well, and I would take it a step further. We just heard the news from ABC News about involving Speaker Mike Johnson. I remind folks that Speaker Johnson is relatively new on the job. He got the gig after the revolt against Kevin McCarthy, and now he's facing a similar fate. What's happening with the Speaker, Bill?
Well, I mean, first of all, McCarthy set up terms so that just a single member can file a motion against him. And because the margins in the House are so narrow, I mean, we're talking about two people advantage, a two-member advantage, it's very difficult for somebody to survive a vote if there's any sort of mutiny by even four people. And in this particular situation, Marjorie Taylor Greene has filed a motion to vacate in March because she didn't like that Johnson chose to the higher spending limits that were already negotiated by Biden and the former Speaker McCarthy. And so she filed this motion to vacate, and it just kind of sat there because she's the only person who can actually call it to the floor. She has to, you know, give a 48-hour notice and call it to the floor. But she got a little bit of help yesterday or day before from another Republican from Kentucky, Thomas Massey, who's also a very, very conservative person, and he's asked Mike Johnson to resign. So at this moment, I mean, you know, the only if one more person joins in that filing, the chances are that the Republicans would not be able to keep Mike Johnson, that he would be thrown out, unless the minority leader, Hakeem Jeffries, chooses to support him, which he said he would.
Why? Why not step back and just let the Republicans self-destruct?
Well, there's certainly a good argument for that. And so I think that presently, the thinking is, look, we're more than, 70% through this particular term of Congress. We've got elections coming up. And if you know anything about the votes in Congress, almost 45% of them come in the last month before the elections. I think there's still a number of bills that are on the floor, or things that need to be done, especially given, you know, aid to, you know, our various allies, Ukraine, Israel, Taiwan, et cetera, that are being proposed, issues with the border, et cetera, et cetera. The last thing that we need right now is an internecine fight in Congress that would stop us from going forward on very important legislation. I mean, because nobody knows who would be a good speaker choice at this point. So we might go through another one of those four or five speaker competitions just to get to another speaker, and then they'd have to get up and running and get membership behind them in order to vote one way or another on these different bills. And so I think the reason to save them would be because we need to take care of the people's business at this point.
Well, now, here's a different perspective coming in already on the Stolberg text line. Listeners arguing that serving in Congress should not be a career. Aristotle, somebody's quoting Aristotle on this show. I don't know if we can allow that. Aristotle argues that people should only serve for 2 years, thus allowing for a constant rotation of fresh ideas. I disagree. 2 years is not enough, Bill.
I would agree with that. I mean, in one of the experiments on term limits, Arizona was one of the states that imposed pretty strict term limits. And what they found was is that many of their members of the congressional representatives were so unfamiliar with the protocols and the rules of conduct in Congress, plus what was legal, what was not legal, that many of their bills were rather extreme and simply unconstitutional. So they were very ineffective members of Congress. Now, I think we all understand that at some point, it seems like there are people who get Potomac fever and stay in decades. And, you know, we can all agree that the founding fathers intended for everybody to take turns, to rotate through government, but there is something to be said for experience.
Also on the Stolberg text line, what I can't understand is why the whips in the House and the Senate aren't able or willing to do their jobs and rein in these rabble-rouser members. That's a legitimate question.
Yeah, and the answer is a little bit ephemeral because, you know, I think that kind of creates a number of questions or poses a number of questions about how Congress works these days and or how it's functioning, I should say, or dysfunctioning. You have people who are trying to stand out and represent their constituencies, and in many cases they're gerrymandered constituencies, so they have a very strong partisan view of legislation. And if they don't adhere to that view, they really have a short career in Congress. And you're finding that right now that many of the policies of the extreme parts of Congress are not policies embraced by Americans in the majority. And so because they're not winning in terms of majorities, they tend to take these strong positions of leverage to try to get what they want. And I think that's backfiring, and a lot of people are getting tired of it.
Always good being in conversation with Bill Ostrander, holding forth on this article. It's been several articles, actually, lately, about our dysfunctional U.S. Congress and why we have multiple members who are not waiting to the end of their term to bail. They're just leaving now. What are the consequences of all that? More to come right here on the Dave Congleton Show.
This is Dan Podesto from Central Coast Lending. Join us this and every Saturday at 9 a.m. for Mortgage Matters with your hosts, the mortgage experts at Central Coast Lending on News Talk 920 and FM 96.5 KVEC.
It seems like all we hear about is artificial intelligence, and while technology can be helpful, when it comes to you or your loved one's next phase in life, working with a local expert in person can make all the difference. I'm Dave Congleton for Senior Living Consultants. Any website can generate a list. You need someone who's actually been there, who really cares, and will stay by your side every step of the way. That's my friend Charmaine Peterson from Senior Living Consultants, the only senior living expert I recommend.
Thanks, Dave. At Senior Living Consultants, we meet with you in person for a thorough evaluation of you or your loved one's social, medical, and financial needs. Next, we will tour all the appropriate communities together until we find the right one. Once we do, and you're ready, we take care of all the medical paperwork. The best part, our service is free. Visit SeniorLivingConsultants.com today or call 805-545-5901. Senior Living Consultants, providing peace of mind since 1997.
Hi, this is Jason Grody from Central Coast Lending. We started this company during the infamous 08 recession and have weathered every type of market. If you're a loan officer looking for opportunity instead of excuses, Central Coast Lending is hiring. Call Central Coast Lending today.
Just call 543-LOAN. We're the mortgage experts on the Central Coast.
Central Coast Lending.
Central Coast Lending is an equal housing lender licensed by the Department of Financial Protection and Innovation under the California Residential Mortgage Lending Act. NMLS number 328-358.
Hammer home the fun and forge a brighter future for your family. Join People's Self-Help Housing on Saturday, April 27th from 3 to 7 p.m. for the 2024 Builder Games. See your favorite local teams compete in the ultimate showdown building playhouses for children. Combine that with gourmet food, wine, beer, and music. It's fun for the whole family. All proceeds benefit People's Self-Help Housing at 1060 Kendall Road in San Luis Obispo. Grab your tickets at buildergames.org. That's buildergames.org.
The 920 KVEC Podcast Network is presented by the Slow County Real Estate Podcast with Hal Swayze. Up-to-date information on the local real estate market on your time. New episodes weekly at the podcast link at 920kvec.com and wherever you get your podcasts. California DRE 01111911.
They're moving out of Congress. It's called the Great Resignation. We get perspective from Bill Ostrander why so many members of Congress are choosing not to run for re-election, why several of them have decided just to leave now. But, Bill, as we continue with you, we should point out that this is not necessarily a Republican-Democratic thing. Both parties are being affected by this, right?
They are, and I think that's because the general milieu in Congress overall. And so certain people are finding reasons to quit that, you know, maybe would have stayed in there if it was slightly dysfunctional, but doesn't necessarily mean that they're altogether disgusted with it. Joe Manchin on one side has decided to quit, but he's also calling about the dysfunction. Kyrsten Sinema, who was Democratic, went independent, then she's decided to quit. But I think they're finishing their terms. If you look at the overall trends, what you're seeing is there's actually slightly more Democrats that are quitting than Republicans. However, most of those are looking for other offices or a change in their career path. But what you're seeing in the mainstay of some of the Senate, what we talked about earlier, is there's more people who are Republican who are resigning and just quitting, like Kevin McCarthy or Ken Buck or what was the gentleman's name who was who filled in for McCarthy when he was tossed out.
Yeah,
the gentleman from North Carolina
with the bow tie.
Sorry, I'm
the bow tie guy.
Getting his name at the moment. I apologize.
Patrick something.
Yes, that's correct.
All right. So a broad question, but we should talk about this. How did we get here? How did we get to this level of dysfunction?
Well, you know, there are several different reasons how we got here. If you one, and let's just lead them and list them, and not necessarily in their order. Gerrymandering. We have in the last 8 years decided that insults and venom and vitriol is okay, and we're willing to do it. Two is that we're seeing that there are youth, you know, certain members of Congress that are getting a lot of attention in creating dramas and traumas. Three, I think money in politics, as you know, I'm always talking about that. You're finding money in politics is playing a part in all of this. And so I think what we have is that there is a passionate minority who are trying to push legislation, as I said earlier, and finding any means necessary to leverage their positions. And that's unfortunately really bad for democracy. And, of course, Churchill said democracy is the worst form of government there is, except for all the others.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people have forgotten the protocols of what it means to debate. I mean, we could even go back to as far as Newt Gingrich's Contract with America in 94, where he basically advised members, don't stay in Washington, go home. Go back to your districts, raise money, and then come back. Whereas in years before that, many of our representatives stayed in Washington and were known to dine with one another and have parties, et cetera, et cetera. And so there was a commingling of experience and a commingling of ideas that just isn't rewarded today. And it's kind of, the more extreme you are, the better you are, the better standing you have. And we've also seen that in fundraising, which is why the money in politics part comes into it. We know that the most ideologically extreme people are the most likely to participate in and engage in the election or campaigning process and to give money to an election. So we also see that part coming into it.
On the Stolberg line, Kurt checks in. Hey, Kurt. Regarding Congress, aren't there benefits to members requiring others to finally show truer prudence in spending, accountability, clarity of promises made?
I'm not sure I understood that. Can you say that differently?
I'm not sure I can. Regarding Congress, Aren't there benefits to members requiring others to finally show? Oh, okay. Let me translate. Isn't it a good thing if we require our colleagues in Congress to show accountability and get their spending under control? I mean, is this necessarily a bad thing that these folks are leaving?
I don't think that it's a good thing. I think that it tends to show that Congress is dysfunctional and people are going, you know what, I've got better things to do than to sit here and go through, you know, to call out an issue that's just come up today, the impeachment of Mayorkas.
Yeah.
You know, constitutional scholars of all varieties have said, you know, that wasn't a constitutionally a proper way to try to bring an impeachment, but it would appear as though that it turned out to be an optics, a move of optics to highlight issues that conservatives had with the border, and I think to normalize the impeachment process so that it doesn't feel like, you know, former President Trump's impeachments were so unusual and unique. And of course they are. And so when you see people that are using government against itself, which seems to be an abuse of our Constitution or a lack of understanding about it, I think that tends to drain people, and they don't have an interest in continuing to serve. I mean, we have people who actually signed up for government that then want to turn around and turn government on itself so that they threaten to default on the debt, or they shut down government, or they want to talk about weaponization of branches of government. You know, that kind of internecine fighting is really, really harmful, and it's really discouraging.
Bill Ostrander of this broadcast. I'm at the 92nd mark, Bill. It also seems to me that this is merely a reflection of what's happening in the country. It's not just Congress, but we're doing all the sniping.
Is at its worst, and at least in my lifetime, is the worst it's ever been. And I think we can blame media for part of that.
Sure.
Certainly, I think that's, you know, part of this. I think the lack of civics in high school is another part of it. I think a lack of community service on people's part so they understand what's going on and see the needs in the country is another part. And I think over the last few years, the metric of money is used so commonly that people actually are so focused on just earning money and making money and getting ahead and me, we've forgotten some of the community that we all share. I mean, that requires a longer explanation, I bet, but yeah.
Well,
those are some of the ideas in my head.
Sure, and you mentioned media. Obviously, a subset of that is social media and the ability of people to go online and post comments and stir people up and the name-calling. I think it's all interrelated. Certainly worth pursuing, which we will do after news and traffic and weather. Continuing our conversation with Bill Ostrander, breaking down what is being called the Great Resignation. Why are so many congressional incumbents just giving up? And what are the consequences for us? We'll take your phone calls, read more of your text messages, keep the conversation going. This is Hometown Radio.
California headline news. A bill that would ban most homeless encampments in California has been voted down in the state Senate Public Safety Committee. Democrat Aisha Wahab saying that the timing is bad, with many still feeling the financial pinch.
And if you really think about it, the majority of us are one or two paychecks away from not being able to afford our rent.
The bipartisan bill would have banned camping within 500 feet of a school, open space, or major transit stop. Recall election of Alameda County District Attorney Pamela Price can move forward with enough valid signatures to put the matter to a public vote.
There are thousands of people that have been victims of different types of crimes and had thought that they were getting justice in the previous administration, and then to come over into this administration and it's totally different.
That's Brenda Grisham with Save Alameda for Everyone. And gas prices are remaining at a statewide average of $5.45 a gallon, up 7 cents from last week, 55 cents from last month. I'm John Gilliland, California Headline News.
Texting enrolls you in a reoccurring automated marketing text messages. Consent not required to purchase. Message and data rates may apply.
Guys, if you're over 40 feeling like you're falling off in your workouts, career, maybe even in the bedroom, it could be lower testosterone, but you're not alone. In fact, superstar Hall of Famer Frank Thomas has a secret for you about how to get back your drive with Nugenix Total T.
I did notice after 40 that energy level had dropped dramatically. You want to feel like you've always felt. You want to go home with energy. You want to go to work with energy. And that's what I tell guys. It helps all facets of your life. Nugenix Total T is the real deal. I haven't felt this great in 15 years. And by the way, she'll like it too.
Text HAWK to 321-321 right now for your complimentary bottle of Nugenix Total T. It's the number one selling testosterone boosting brand at GNC and Walmart. Do it now, and they'll also send you a bottle of Nugenix Thermo X, their newest, most powerful fat burner ever, absolutely free. Text HAWK to 321-321. That's HAWK to 321-321.
These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Severson. The Senate has dismissed both impeachment articles against Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas, ending the House Republican push to remove him over border issues. Senate Republican Leader Mitch McConnell.
No evidence, no procedure. This is a day that's not a proud day in the history of the Senate.
President Biden endorsing House Speaker Johnson's move to hold separate votes on separate funding bills, including military aid for Ukraine this week. President Biden promising cheering union steelworkers in Pittsburgh that his administration would block the acquisition of U.S. steel by a Japanese company. And the president calling for tripling tariffs on Chinese steel.
These are strategic and targeted actions that are going to protect American workers and ensure fair competition.
O.J. Simpson has been cremated after dying of cancer last week in Las Vegas, according to the executor of his estate. It was a down day for the major indexes on Wall Street. This is ABC News.
Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins.
On the next Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins show,
Alejandro Mayorkas says he never said the border was secure.
All right, we've got the tape saying otherwise.
Slow County, it's Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins.
We're glad to be on News Talk 920 and FM 96.5 KBEC. We're live weekdays at 9, right after First Look with Andy Morris.
In tough economic times, people cut back on luxury spending. Unfortunately, that might lead to playing less golf. Hi, my name is Jeff. I love the game of golf, and 11 years ago, I developed Central Coast Golf Card for people who love golf, like myself, to get out and experience the game without breaking the bank. At that time, we were coming out of a recession, much like what we're experiencing now. But thanks to Central Coast Golf Card, you don't have to cut back on your rounds. CentralCoastGolfCard.com features one round of golf at 10 great California golf courses for just $140. Hunter Ranch, Avila Beach, Black Lake, Rancho Maria, Catalina Island, Paso Robles Golf Club, Buena Vista, Zacha Creek, Laguna Lake, and River Oaks. Pay for all that golf up front and save big bucks at a time when every dollar counts. You don't have to sacrifice the game at CentralCoastGolfCard.com. That's CentralCoastGolfCard.com. Visit CentralCoastGolfCard.com for complete details. Central Coast Golf Card, the cheat code to savings on great California golf.
At the dental office of Dr. Kerry Ramirez, the foundation of care is based not only on healthy teeth, but also healthy gums. Their highly trained team of hygienists are dedicated to the most up-to-date treatment and care for gum disease, the leading cause of tooth loss. If you notice bleeding when you floss or are not using the best habits when it comes to oral hygiene, their hygiene team can get you back on the road to health. Call Dr. Kerry Ramirez at 549-8483 or request an appointment at Slow Coast Dentist. Dot com.